Paramedics around Colorado have used ketamine hundreds of times to sedate people with a condition called excited delirium. The practice was suspended in July after the passage of a new state law meant to rein in its use in the presence of police. Now, a panel of medical experts assembled by the state's top public health official have concluded that excited delirium has racist implications and should not be used as a justification to sedate people. Here to talk about that is KUNC investigative reporter Michael DeJuana. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Aaron.
Now, the panel has recommendations for sedating people in the future. First, remind us what excited delirium is.
Yeah, excited delirium is a condition that emergency room doctors have encountered. People who are agitated, acting bizarrely, stuck in physiological fight or flight mode. Many people are on stimulants like cocaine or methamphetamine, and some have overexerted themselves to such an extreme point that they have died. KUNC did a series of investigations last year into paramedics' use of ketamine to sedate people said to have this condition. One of the experts we spoke to was retired Dr. Mark DeBar, a professor emeritus of emergency medicine at Ohio State University. He played a key role in helping to define excited delirium. He said he first started noticing cases in the 1990s.
By the early 2000s, it became obvious that we were seeing more and more cases of this, and I start reading about them all over the country in custody of law enforcement and EMS, dying before they get to the hospital.
So DeBard formed a task force with peers around the country who were seeing the same kinds of cases. And in 2009, they issued a white paper through the American College of Emergency Physicians. It defined excited delirium syndrome and how to treat it.
You can't talk these people down. You have to intervene medically, usually with sedative medications. It calms the entire body down, and it interrupts this feedback loop, allowing their body to return to normal.
And how did they decide on ketamine?
Well, ketamine is a powerful drug, and emergency doctors like it because it acts so quickly. But, you know, obviously they can't administer it themselves, as situations that Dr. DeBard told us about are occurrences in public places or people's homes. Typically, what happens is someone calls 911, and because of that, police are on scene along with paramedics. So it's the paramedics who give the ketamine. And in the last decade or so, this practice of sedating people said to have excited delirium has spread to at least 34 states. That's according to KUNC's own count, because nobody's tracking this.
Right. And of course, that number includes Colorado.
Yes. But as you noted earlier, when a new law was enacted, the state suspended the practice. And at least one agency, Aurora Fire Rescue, seems to have abandoned its use altogether. That's the agency, by the way, that sedated 23-year-old Black massage therapist Elijah McClain in 2019. I'll say more on how his death factors into all of this, as well as the law, in a second. But first, we need to go back more than a year to August of 2020, when Jill Hunsaker Ryan, the executive director of the state's Department of Public Health and Environment, announced the panel of medical experts and what she called a thorough review of the waiver system that allows paramedics to sedate extremely agitated people with ketamine.
Right. I remember when that was convened.
Yeah, and it came amid fairly intense media scrutiny. There were cases where it wasn't clear whether some people who had been sedated even had excited delirium. And it was launched after KUNC's investigation that found paramedics around the state sedated people 902 times for excited delirium and extreme agitation in a 2.5-year period. But, you know, by the way, Dr. DeBard told us that was about 15 times more cases than he'd expect to see.
Hmm. Well, and I remember the promise was that the panel was supposed to issue findings in about 3 months.
Yes. So obviously it took them a lot longer than that to complete their 125-page report. You know, they did their work quietly behind the scenes, not talking to the media, not even identifying who was on the panel. But now that the report is out, we know the people on the panel, most of them doctors with a range of relevant expertise to ketamine, behavioral health, emergency medicine, and so forth. I spoke to some of them about their report's top-line finding that says excited delirium is linked to racism and should not be used as a basis to sedate a person. Here's a member of the panel, Leslie Brooks, a family and addiction medicine doctor who works in Larimer and Weld counties. She says excited delirium is a sketchy diagnosis.
It lacks a unifying criteria. It lacks specificity. It is incredibly subjective with use of non-medical criteria such as hyper-aggressiveness, increased strength, as well as failure to respond to police commands, things that are so subjective that they disproportionately impact communities of color. And so we very squarely said that is not a valid diagnosis, and we're not alone in that. There are national organizations that we align with. The American Medical Association has said the same, the World Health Organization and the American Psychiatric Association also don't recognize this diagnosis.
Now, this isn't to say that paramedics won't encounter extremely agitated people. The panel also understands that sedating them with ketamine might save their lives, but those cases are expected to be extremely rare, limited to people who present, quote, a serious, probable, imminent threat of bodily harm to self or others. That's according to the report. Luis Verduzco, an anesthesiology and critical care doctor on the panel, said before that point is reached, there should be efforts to de-escalate a situation and to calm people. And moreover, that if ketamine is used, that paramedics must make the decision independently based on their training.
We were recommending that in situations that a patient is severely agitated, that they are a threat to themselves or others, a threat that is severe, that's probable, that's imminent, and where verbal de-escalation and potentially physical restraint, if appropriate, have failed. And in the situations where the paramedic, and I make that very clear, at the sole discretion of the paramedic, not the passerby who's walking across the street, not the police officer, but the paramedic, that upon his discretion, his or her discretion, that they feel that the patient needs to be chemically restrained so that we can evaluate the patient to try to obtain a diagnosis, then ketamine is appropriate.
Now, this concern about police influence comes up in a few cases that we reported on, including Elijah McLean's. In his case, an independent report to the city of Aurora earlier this year found that paramedics appeared to accept officers' impressions that McLean had excited delirium without corroborating that impression through meaningful observation or diagnostic examination. That report also found that McLean was given an excessive dose of ketamine for his weight. The issue of appropriate ketamine dosages is addressed in the report, too, with a specific weight dose recommendations. There's also a call for racial equity and implicit bias training in the report.
Well, these recommendations appear to align with that new state law, the Protection of Persons from Restraint, that Governor Polis signed over the summer.
Yes, and we reported on that bill and the process throughout the earlier part of this year. I asked a co-sponsor of the bill, Representative Leslie Herod, a Denver Democrat, what she thought. She wasn't available for an interview, but in a statement, she said she was heartened to see the panel establish a careful process for the oversight and administration of the drug. She was glad to see a recommendation to require data collection and that it rejected excited delirium as a diagnosis because it is prone to racism.
Right. So what comes next?
Well, I asked that question to Colorado's chief medical officer, Dr. Eric France. He chaired the panel. He said the next steps will be to circulate the report to state health officials and local medical organizations, including EMS agencies.
I expect a strong communication with these entities, as well as with our communities who are impacted by the policies and practices in paramedic care. And from there, in 2022, I think we'll be working towards interpreting and defining whether there's a role for ketamine in the future as part of the armamentarium for chemical restraint.
I should say some of those agencies have been staunch defenders of the practice. I'm reaching out to them for their perspectives as the report circulates, as there will be big questions here for the emergency doctors and EMS agencies who want to use the drug to sedate extremely agitated people.
Well, Michael, I have one final thought. The recommendations are just that, they're recommendations. Will there be stricter oversight of how ketamine is used? I'm wondering who is going to keep an eye, if at all, on how law enforcement chooses to use this or not going forward.
Yeah, well, one area in the report regarding oversight is that the panel discovered Colorado is one of only two states that do not license EMS or ambulance agencies at the state level. And that limits the state's ability to investigate complaints. The panel recommended that the state consider changing that to create more uniform standards and protocols, along with oversight to assure consumer protection.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Michael DeJuana is KUNC's investigative reporter. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.